Awesome. We are excited about this morning, about week two of this series, Spread the Word. Glad you could be here this morning. It's slowly over the past year or so that we and our family, the Carlson family, we've reached a little bit of a new monumental milestone in our household. My five-year-old daughter, Lucy, is now at the age where she is starting to make like real friends of her own. Like she goes to like other friends' house to play, and or you know, she gets picked up by the other parents and they go to the park together or to the gym. And then this is the real big one right here. She's now actually attending friends' birthday parties on her own. I mean, it's not like the, you know, like the family parties where the whole family comes and hang out, but this is like the kids' only ones that she is starting to go to. And it's a pretty big deal. And truthfully, I don't know how I feel about this. On one hand, it makes me a little bit sad to think that my little, you know, girl is like growing up right in front of my very eyes. But on the other hand, let me just say this. This is the truth. On the other hand, it is so stinking fun to see her get so excited about, you know, things like this. In fact, a couple of months ago, we received this right here. You'll see it. We received this right here in the mail. It was her first ever kid-only birthday party invitation, and it was a, you know, like a dress-up and dance party nonetheless. I mean, the perfect match for my daughter, Lucy, and she was so unbelievably excited about this thing. That thing, that invitation went right up onto the refrigerator immediately, and we talked about that thing all the time. And the best part about this little invitation here was her just fascination with it, with this little piece of paper, her fascination with it. She doesn't even know how to read. This is the crazy part. She doesn't even know how to read, but she knew what that thing said from top to bottom. And so on the day of the party, I was actually the one getting her ready. I was going to be dropping her off. And so I asked her if she wanted to bring one of her like princess dresses or tutus to the party because, you know, I knew that was the theme of the whole thing. But she said to me, "No, Dad, the invitation says fairy wings and tutus provided." It's like, duh, Dad, did you not read the invitation? And sure enough, there it was. Look at this. Oh, the screen cut it off. There it says tutus and fairy wings provided. I cannot tell you how fun it was to watch her do this whole deal, especially when I dropped her off. I mean, just the joy on her face. She was so excited about this, and she literally had the best time ever at this party. And it all began with this invitation. Okay, here's what this makes me realize. There is power in an invitation. There is real power in an invitation. Young or old, kids or adults, men or women, everyone loves an invitation to a party, to a wedding, even just an invite over, you know, to dinner, right? There's something really, really, really special about knowing that someone was thinking about you, that someone wanted you to come and to be with them. Something really special about that, if you ask me. Right? And I happen to think that one of the most powerful, one of the most significant, one of the most meaningful, maybe even one of the most life-changing invitations that we can extend to someone is an invitation to a church, to this church, to a church, to the local church. I think that's one of the most powerful, one of the most significant, maybe one of the most life-changing invitations that we could ever make to someone else. The invitation to the church. There's just one problem with that. Most of us have no clue how to talk to our friends or our neighbors about church. We either have no clue or sometimes we just have no interest. Right? I mean, just the thought of it makes our palms get sweaty and makes our throats kind of dry up a little bit. Right, we're thinking like, well, do I have to, man? Can I just be like a nice guy? Can I just be a nice girl and a nice neighbor? But do I actually have to like say anything to them about God or church? Right, because we're thinking, you know, what if I do? And then what if they think I'm strange? Or what if they think I'm weird? Or what if they think I have cooties or something? Right, do I actually have to talk to my friends and neighbors about this? For so many of us, I think making this kind of invitation, it can be a scary thing. It can be a really intimidating thing. But the truth is, it does not have to be that scary, and it does not have to be that intimidating. Okay, and that's what this series, Spread the Word, is all about. In these weeks right before Easter, we want to help you to discover some simple and some easy and practical and yet powerful ways to let others know around you what God is doing in you. We want to help you to discover some easy and practical ways to do that. And an invitation to church, to a church, to this church, an invitation can play a big, big, big part in that. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the invitation that one woman made to everybody that she knew after meeting Jesus at a well. Okay, her encounter with Jesus, it changes her, and then she turns around, right? The invitation that she turns around and then makes to everyone that she knows ends up changing the lives of an entire village of people. And her invitation was built on just three simple words. An invitation that she would go on to make to an entire village of people was built on just three simple words, and it's the only three words. It's the only three words that we need to make, that you and I need to make in order to extend the same kind of invitation to the people in our lives that we know and that we love and that we work with and that we live next door to. Same three words. So if you want to learn what these three words are, grab a Bible or turn to the side screens and follow along as we read from this story of a woman who meets Jesus at a well in John chapter 4. Buckle up here with me. We're going to actually this morning, we're going to read through a good chunk of this story, maybe a little bit more so than I would normally just read on a Sunday morning. So no nodding off to sleep, no dazing out the windows or no heading for the doors. This story is too good, so you cannot miss any of it here this morning. You ready for this? John chapter 4, here we go. We're going to start in verse 4. Jesus is in Judea, and he's leaving for Galilee. We'll pick up in verse 4. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Yes, this is like that Jacob and Joseph all the way like Old Testament. Like this is a reference all the way back to the Old Testament, to the fathers of our faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then his amazing technicolor dreamcoat son, Joseph. This is that Jacob, and this is that Joseph that John is referencing here. Okay, verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at this time because he and his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Verse 9, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And so she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman." I mean, like Samaritan for one, and a Samaritan woman for second. She says, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Right? She gets it. I mean, she understands how this game is supposed to be played. She understands that Jews and Samaritans don't get along. She understands that they're not supposed to play in the same sandbox together. Right, she understands that Jesus should not be associating with her. But Jesus never seems to play by the rules that other people expected him to play by. So here's verse 10. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you." I mean, if I could just, that's something I'd love to say to you and to your neighbors and to your coworkers and to your friends and your family. If you only knew. If you only knew the gift that God had for you. This is what he says to her. If you only knew the gift that God had for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Verse 11, but sir, she says, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, she says, besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? You think you're better than him? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? You think you got something better than that? She says to him. Verse 13, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water here in the well, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. See, what Jesus offers, what he's offering to her, and what he offers to every single one of us, what he offers is something that truly satisfies, and I'm talking really satisfies, in a way that nothing else in this world can satisfy. Nothing else that we reach for, nothing else that we chase after. Jesus offers something that truly satisfies in a way that nothing else can. Verse 15, please, sir, the woman said, give me that water. She says, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Okay? Now look what Jesus says next. He takes a little turn here. Very next verse, verse 16, Jesus told her, go and get your husband. And the woman replied, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. That was a trick question. Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have five husbands. And the one that, and he says, you have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with right now. He says, so yeah, you're right. You are certainly speaking the truth. You don't have a husband. You've got five. Verse 19, sir, the woman says, you must be a prophet. I mean, she's going, man, how in the world would this guy know that? She says, you must be a prophet. And now she's got some questions. She's got some questions. Verse 20, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim that it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Jesus, he bites here. He'll dive in. Verse 21, Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. He says, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, he says, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. He's saying it's not about being in the right place. He's saying it's about worshiping in the right way, with the right heart, right? So important for us to know. And he says, the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, maybe this is like where you worship, spirit, truth, Jerusalem, Mount Gerizim. Maybe this is over some of your heads. I'm thinking maybe it was over the head of this woman too, because here's her response, verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. She said, we'll just wait. He'll explain it all. Verse 26, then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. She says, yeah, we'll just wait for him. He'll explain it all to us. And he says to her, hey, no, that's me. I am this Messiah. Imagine her shock here to find out that she was talking to Jesus, the Messiah, the whole time. Right, it's like the earliest version of like MTV Punked, right? Like, got you, right? The camera crews come running out. We're like, yeah, it's him the whole time. It was Jesus the whole time. Skip down to verse 28. Let's find out what she does next. She just finds out she met Jesus, the Messiah. Okay? Skip down to verse 28. Let's find out what she does next. It says this, the woman left her jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. And then here it is. Okay? You can't miss this. Here is the invitation. She meets Jesus, the Messiah. And then she runs back to the village, telling everyone. Here it is. Here's her invitation that she makes to everyone in her village. She says this, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Come and see. You got to come and see. She's saying, could he possibly be the Messiah? And so the people came streaming from the village to see him. She says, come and see. And they came. But they didn't just come and watch. They didn't just kind of stand on the sidelines looking in, you know, from the outside. Look at what happens next. As a result of this Samaritan woman and her invitation to the village, it says this: many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." And when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay. They're impressed. Right? They begged him to stay in their village. And it says, so he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe. Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. And now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." They're saying, hey, we get it. Now we believe. Now we're in. This is one really powerful invitation, one life-changing, one village-changing, one community-changing, maybe if you really play this out, one generation-changing invitation that this woman makes to everyone that she knows, and it all began with these three simple words. Come and see. Come and see. This is the only invitation that you need to make to the friends and neighbors in your life. Come and see. It's not come and sign the dotted line, right? Come and you can like never leave again. It's just come and see. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Our family's going to church. We'd love to have you come and see what it's all about. Hey, you got any plans this weekend? I'm going to church. I'd love to have you come and see what's happening there. You don't have to be a Bible expert or like a church expert. You don't have to be like an official like member of this church or know the like the secret handshake that we teach to all of our favorite people here. How many of you know that handshake? Okay, that was a trick question. We don't have a handshake. You don't have to like be some kind of insider, be some kind of like, you know, perfect church person. You just have to say, "Hey, come and see." You don't have to say, "Hey, you look like your life is pretty pathetic, right? You should come to church." You don't do that. You don't have to say, "Hey, your life looks like a mess. You should come to church." You don't say, "Hey, you seem like you don't have any friends at all. Or you should come to this church and meet some people." You don't say, "Hey, you look like you're just lost. You should come and meet these people who have it all together or who don't ever make a mistake." No, you don't say any of that. You don't have to like get all like church either. You don't have to be like, "Well, hey, greetings in the name of the Lord. With thou likest to cometh, with thy to church." You don't have to do that. It's not what an invitation to church is all about. All you have to say is, "Hey, our family's really enjoyed being a part of this church. We'd love to have your family come and see what it's all about." Hey, I know it sounds crazy, but I found so much joy, so much fun, so much excitement at this church. You should come and see what it's all about. Hey, I haven't really ever been to a church like this before. I'd be glad to have you come and see what they've got going on. Hey, I don't really go to church much, but there's something about this place. There's something about these people. There's something about this Jesus that they keep talking about that I dig. You should come and see. Come and see. See, we make this whole deal out to be so much more than it really is. And in the process, we psych ourselves out. We make it to be something that's not, and we psych ourselves out. In the process, we run the risk of missing out on how God might be using us to reach an entire village, or an entire neighborhood, or an entire school, or an entire community, or entire families. We might be missing out on the chance, right? because we're going, I don't know how to do that. That seems too scary. That seems too intimidating. When the truth is, it really is pretty simple, and the results can be pretty powerful. And you never know what could come of a simple invitation. And I personally, I couldn't be more excited to have experienced firsthand the fun of all this, of an invitation myself. It's really exciting right now. We're working on a little video project, and we'll be excited to show that with you in the week to come. We've been working on a little video project that tells the story of an invitation that I made to someone who I've enjoyed getting to know. Started playing basketball a couple years ago, and I moved to Hudson at the local YMCA. I just showed up. I'm showing up on other people's turf, so I just kept my head down, and I just kept quiet, and I just did my best to, you know, not double dribble or travel or do things like that and hang with these guys. And little by little, you start to get to know some guys. Little by little, you start to strike up conversations with people. Little by little, you start to make friends with other guys on the court. Eventually, they like start to find out what you do, and then the whole another bag opens up about, like, well, you're a pastor? Wow, you know? Can't share some of the words that they say back to me in response when they find out that I'm a pastor, but the cool thing was I met a guy who we enjoyed striking up conversation together. And he's sitting here this morning. Met a guy, asked me what I do, said I planted a church, and told him about what we're doing and what it's all about, and we just kept going on, hanging out, getting to know one another. It was Easter last year, right? He invited me to play on his basketball team, and we tell a little bit of that story when we roll this video out. He invited me to play on their Sunday night basketball team and became really truthfully a good friend of mine. It was Easter last year, 2018. I remember sending a text message to this guy saying, "Hey, I don't know if you've got any plans for Easter, but we've got a really great Easter service planned, and I'd really love to have you come and see what it's all about." Truthfully, I don't remember his response. I don't know if he said no, or I don't know if he said, like, no way, or I don't even remember if, you know, he texted me back at all. But I do remember that Easter, he didn't come. So you can imagine my surprise when about 3 weeks later, and totally and completely unannounced, I'm standing outside the doors of these church welcoming people as they walk through our doors, and who comes walking up with his family? Matt. Three weeks after Easter, started attending this church and have never stopped coming since. And if you talk to the Matt, you get a chance to see about a new a journey that he's on, a new faith journey that I could not be more excited about. You talk to Matt, you get a chance to hear about how being a part of this community of people has started to change his life, started to change the dynamics in his family, all for good. And it all starts with a single invitation. It's one of the most fun things that's happening in my life right now, this new friendship, this new faith journey for my man. It's one of the most exciting things that I'm a part of right now. And here's the truth. Here's what I want to say to you right now. This is one of the things that I'm most excited about in my life right now. And the very same thing could be true for you. Very same thing could be for you to be a part of something like this, to be a part of some kind of new journey, some kind of new experience for someone in your life. All it takes is an invitation. It's where it all begins, with an invitation to come and see. Come and see. Come and see. It just takes an invitation. It's where it all begins, but here's the thing, and then I want to just close with this, right? That's where it begins, with an invitation. But I know that that's not necessarily where it ends, right? That's not the only part of the equation, just an invitation to come and see. The tricky part of this whole thing for you about inviting your friends and your family to church is the confidence that you have in what they'll experience when they come here. right? You're inviting them to an experience. And if you're going to stick your neck out on the line to invite them, we know that you want to be proud. We know that you want to be excited about and confident about what they experience. You want to know if I'm going to greet them at the front door saying greetings in the name, you know what I'm saying, right? You want to know, for good or for bad, you want to know what you're inviting your friends and your neighbors to. You want to know what they're going to experience when they walk in these doors. We know that. We get that. We want you to be proud and excited and confident about what happens here. We want to be on your team. We want to be on your side. That's why we work really hard to create the kind of environment and experience we do. That's why we load and unload and pack and repack trailers every Sunday to create this kind of experience that we do. That's why we take really serious our efforts to make this every Sunday. Anytime someone comes in contact with us, that's why we work hard to take seriously our efforts to make this a place where real people and a real God meet. Not just church people or religious people or perfect people, but real, ordinary, everyday life people. That's why we work hard to, build teams and build volunteers and empower leaders. That's why many of us give faithfully and sacrificially to what God is doing here. That's why my wife and I do, right? First part of what we make, no questions asked. The first thing that we do is give 10% back to what God has given to us, before our house, before our groceries, before anything else. That's what we give the first part back to God. That's why so many of us give back to God in so many ways here, because we're trying to do something here. The truth is, it would be a lot easier. Let me tell you something. It would be a whole lot easier if we didn't have to recruit teams of people to get here early, to unload trailers, or to greet you at the front door, or to teach your kids. It would be a lot easier if we didn't have to do that. It would be a lot easier if we didn't have to get teams of people to, come and make a bunch of coffee every morning. It'd be a lot easier if we could just make like gross, crappy coffee, right? It'd be a lot easier if we could just do that. It would be a lot easier if we could just rely on just what everybody knows about church and just use churchy language and churchy words and not have to worry about what we say or how much people understand it. It would be a whole lot easier if we didn't have to care if the music sounded good or if the musicians were any good or if people understood what we were singing or why we were even singing it. That would be a whole lot easier. It would be a lot easier for me. I tell you what, week after week after week, it would be a lot easier if I could just flip the Bible open every Sunday and just say, well, here's what the Bible says, people. So go and do it. I'm out. It would be a lot easier if we could just say, hey, we're a church, so we're just going to do all the right church stuff and not try to help you figure out what this deal is all about. That would be a whole lot easier. Be a whole lot easier if we didn't have to care about the experience that people have when they walk into these doors. We can't do that. We can't do that. Why? Because we know that if you're going to use what you have to reach those people that you love, if you're going to invest well into your friends and into your neighbors and into your coworkers, and if you're going to invite them to come and see, then we know that what they experience and what you invite them to, it really matters. And so that's why we do what we do. That's why we work hard at what we do. That's why we invite more of you to be a part of what we do so we can do it better, because an invitation matters and what people experience here matters. So let me just ask you this. Who in your life, who in your family, who in your neighborhood, who in your office, who in your class do you think you could invite to come and see? And I'm not necessarily just like talking about the people that like go to church but are kind of unhappy about their church. I'm not just talking about the people that like generally are in church but have just been kind of tired on the weekends and haven't been in a while. I mean, we got a space for everybody. But I'm talking about who in your life, who in your neighborhood, who in your world doesn't understand that the gift that Jesus offers to us, that he offers something to us that satisfies like nothing else. Who in your life, in your class, in your neighborhood, in your conference room, in wherever, who is it that you could invite to come and to see, to come and to experience, to come and to meet this kind of God? It could be the beginning of something new in them. It could be the beginning of something new in their life, in their family, in their marriage, and so on. So let's work as hard as we can to be the best friends. Let's be the best neighbors. Let's be the best coworkers. Let's be the best classmates. Be the best whatever, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles. Let's be the best that we can be. Let's invest well into the relationships that God has already put into our life. Invest well into the people that God has already placed around us. Let's use what we have to reach out to those that we love. And let's boldly invite more and more people to come and to see a God who can offer what nothing else and no one else will ever satisfy. Let me pray for us. God, we're grateful for this morning, and we're grateful for what you are doing in this church. We're grateful for what you're doing in our lives. God, that's the truth. You are doing some things in some of our lives here this morning, in big ways, in small ways, in new ways, in subtle ways. God, we believe you're at work, and we want to let others around us know about what you're doing in us. God, because we believe that it matters. God, we believe that, you know, it could be a life-changing step to let someone in on what is happening in our hearts and in our lives, God. And so I just pray, God, that you would help us to maybe identify who it is in our life. What relationships do we have that we might want to say, hey, come and see. And God, we're not just saying, hey, come and see so that there's, you know, we fill up more of the seats. We're not saying, hey, you know, come and see so our attendance numbers are larger. We're not saying, hey, come and see so that, you know, we're saying, hey, come and see, come and meet a God who will offer you something that nothing else and no one else can satisfy. God, would you point us to those people in our life who need to meet a God that can satisfy like nothing else? God, would you help us to be the best friends, the best neighbors? Would you help us to invest well into those relationships, to give us truth and grace? God, give us just the courage and the guidance to know how to invest well into them. And God, would you help us to be bold? When the time is right, God, we don't have to fast track this or push it faster than it's, you know, meant to be, God. But when the time is right, would you give us courage and would you give us boldness to reach out, to make an invitation, to say, come and see. Come and see, come and see, come and experience, come and meet a God who is always in search of you. Come and see, come and meet a God who offers you something that nothing else can satisfy. God, help us to be bold and courageous as we reach out to those in our lives who we already know and who we already love, and we want to know and love you and follow you as well. Thanks for this morning, God. Thanks for this time. We pray these things in your name. Amen.